Rishus. Arthur.
All the members of the Kohel and everyone else, members of the community who came out, members of the community who are joining us. Tonight is one night away. Tomorrow night will be the first yahrzeit of Andrew. And we got to see, one thing I got to see personally. I definitely met Andrew over my life, having grown up here, but never got to know him personally. But I learned so much over the last 3 days. I learned so much just watching a father saying, please help my son, help his neshama have an Elui neshama. And the entire community, hundreds and hundreds of people coming forth to partake just to help his neshama soar. And it was such a powerful message of what a community could do, what a community could show, support, to show how much they care about one's neshama, about a member of the community. Yibadon l'chaim tovim. And tonight's Divrei Torah should be an Elui neshama for Yehuda Yosef ben Yibadon l'chaim tovim Ephraim, who was someone who, by definition, in every sense of the word, he was someone who served people. He served people whether you knew him from Bageltown, whether you knew him from Hunkies, whether you knew him from any place. He was someone who didn't just serve you. He was someone who sought to take the initiative to get you something before you even wanted it, before you even requested it. And that's something, that's a midah. What midah could that be? The Alter of Kelm goes and says, he wrote well, his classical work. It's called Chachma U'Musar. And he spends the first 15 pieces of the Sefer, all describing the midah of Nose Ba'ol, to be able to be cognizant of others, to realize their needs, to see outside of yourself, beyond yourself. And that's something that Andrew clearly excelled in, to be able to go and to see, what do you need? How can I service you? And such, I spoke to many people, and the sweetness of his persona is something that we can all learn from. So the Divrei Torah we share tonight should be Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Yosef Ben Ephraim. And definitely, all the tzedakah that was given, has already and should continue to help his neshama soar. As we know, people's, every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we open the Sifrei Chaim and we open the Sifrei Mason. We open the book of the living and we open the book of the dead. Why do we open the book of the dead? They're dead. The answer is, explain the Mefarshim, explain the Balei Machshava, because a person has the ability, even after their lifetime, to keep growing, to keep soaring, and their actions have repercussions, have ripple effects during their lifetime and well after their lifetime. And that's why we open the Sifrei Mason, we open the book of those who are dead, to see how many more zechusim, how many more merits did they accrue over this past year. So my bracha is, through all this tzedakah and this learning, and Divrei Torah, we should all be able to assist Andrew's neshama to keep going further and further, higher and higher in Shemayim. So I want to highlight one facet of Purim. Purim's coming up, and Purim has so many different aspects. There's the Seuda, there's Mishloach Manos, there's Matanos Lavyonim, and so many facets, so many different things. One I want to highlight is something that it's very hard to wrap your head around. What's the point? What's the message? You go and you hear there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to drink wine. Why? Do we promote frivolousness? Do we promote loss of control? Bali Musar, drink wine. Bali Musar trying to to gain full control of their every thought, of their every action, are drinking without end on Purim. What is that? Now, there is obviously the discussion, as the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, goes and quotes from the Meiri, that anyone who drinks irresponsibly, and anyone who, because of his actions and because of his choices that he makes, will end up being mezalzel mitzvos and trampling on, not benching and not davening ma'ariv, not davening shachris, and being inappropriate towards their fellow Jew, hurting and damaging, shouldn't be drinking. That's a given. We're talking about even those who find that balance to be able, on the other side of that coin, it's a chiyuv, it's a se'if in Shulchan Aruch, chayiv inish lebesume. A person has to go and drink wine on Purim. It's part of the mitzvah of the day. What's the message? What is this mitzvah, and how do you tap into it? So first and foremost, what's the shiur? What's the shiur of this mitzvah? So, again, many people, like all good topics, have so many different perspectives. And people, you'll find in Torah literature, you're going to find opinions this way and opinions that way on either side of the spectrum. No one should be drinking. Everyone should be drinking. We have to stop the madness and, just keep drinking. Don't worry about it. And everyone's going to find their marimakum that suits their preference and hang their hat. And we're not coming to debate the proper balance. That's not what we're coming to do. We're not discussing that tonight. We're trying to glean what is the actual chiyuv and what's the lesson from this chiyuv. What is the obligation and what is there to learn from this obligation? So, you open up a Shulchan Aruch. We hope that's the framework where we want to go and see, is it actually brought in halacha? And in Simen Tuf Reish Tzadi Hei, one of the last simanim in the whole Aruch Chaim section of Shulchan Aruch, goes and says, Chayiv Inish Labesume, a direct quote from the Gemara. A person has to become, anyone want to translate it? Inebriated? It's interesting. The Mefarshim spell out, it doesn't say Lehistakir, Shichrus, right? Noach drank and he became drunk. That was shichrus. Lehistakir is to become drunk. It doesn't say to become drunk. It says to become lebesume. Besume is the lashon of to be infused with that, almost to smell of it. Right? So many people accomplish that easily, but depending on the circumstance. But what's that? That is to be besimcha. It's not about how drunk can you get? It's about the simcha of tapping into the simcha via the medium and the vehicle of drinking. Who says this? The Yad Ephraim. The Yad Ephraim, one of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. Who was the Yad Ephraim? Sorry, I can't control myself. He was Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was the Rav in Brody, which is Galicia, part of Ukraine. He was the Rav in the 1800s. He was the predecessor of Rav Shlomo Kluger, if that helps. And the brother of the Shari Tshuva. He actually wrote, he was known as the Brody Balabas. He was a fabulously wealthy person who also knew Kol HaTorah Kula and wrote some of the most classical Sfarim we have today. Yad Ephraim, Beis Ephraim, Shari Ephraim, Mate Ephraim, and Megillas Yuchsin, among others. So, says the Yad Ephraim on Shulchan Aruch. Now we're back. Says the Yad Ephraim on Shulchan Aruch the following. You got to see it to believe it. On these words of Chayiv Adam Lebesume, the Lihat Soir, me the young one, writes Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, Nisparish Bechazoyon Laila. I had a dream. Says the Beis Ephraim, says the Yad Ephraim, I had a dream. This is back in the 1800s, he had a dream. What was his dream? I was revealed to me in my dream, what's this mitzvah? He goes and he says, She'ikar achiyuv shal hamishtahu, what's the reason why we make us of the wine, we even have wine? She'yashar b'simcha, a person should just be filled with simcha. כדכסיב ויין יסמך לבב אנוש. ומחמה שיהיה שורי בשמחה, יהיה חדווס השם מאוזה. And when you're in that state of happiness, you'll be able to tap in, to connect. Everyone knows, many people have poked fun. Yeshiva Bachim themselves poke fun at their fellow Yeshiva Bachim. When a guy drinks, he's in high school, he's post-high school, he's post-marriage, and he starts drinking, and what happens? Anyone? He starts to drink, and he runs over to his Rebbe in tears, and he says, Rebbe, I want to learn! And his Rebbe grabs him around. Anyone ever seen this? Yeah? Okay, fine. And people roll their eyes. Oh, another drunk bacher on Purim saying, Rebbe, I want to learn. Okay, classic, happy Purim. It's Purim. There's a tremendous beauty, assuming that he lands safely. There's a tremendous beauty in that, because when he loses that basic level of how he would carry himself, what comes out? Chedvas Hashem Meuzai. He almost instinctively goes and turns to, you should watch these guys, how they bench. They usually grab a talis, and they're adorned in a talis. You see funny things on Purim, but it's the manifestation and an expression of their desires of things that they wouldn't necessarily do when they were sober walking on a regular Tuesday. But this coming Tuesday, they'll be able to just get past that and say, Hashem, I want to enhance my relationship with you, and be able to break out of that. And I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Wolman, from the Mir Yeshiva. He said a very powerful thought. He said that Amalek, Parsha Zachar, this coming week, we're going to read about Parsha Zachar, and Amalek, the Pasuk in Mishlei, uses, the Yalkut, uses a Pasuk in Mishlei, describing Leitzanis, which is, Leitzanis is, anyone want to go for it? Translation? Leitzanis?
Scoffing.
Okay, well said. Scoffing or joking, it's not to have a personality. Leitzanis is very, very, very frowned upon. It's not to be upbeat, not to be the life of a party. It's to scoff. And that's Amalek. Why? What does Amalek have to do with scoffing? What does Amalek have to do with Leitzanis? So what is Leitzanis? Leitzanis is the inability to handle something. Do we have any therapists in the room? When someone is faced with something that's too hard to face, they can't face the facts. So there's one of two things. Generally speaking, either you accept it or you belittle it. And you denigrate it because they can't handle that this person is the way they are. So as you see them soaring to new heights or being so successful, you try to belittle them as much as you can. Why? Because it's so hard to see someone else's successes. And it's so hard to see your own shortcomings. But the truth is, it even goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to the extent of when people even see where there's room for themselves to grow, forget even embracing your shortcomings. When people see where there's space for them to change for the better, it's also very hard. And you're never given a free pass on either direction. And it's so hard when you're faced with that crossroads of where should I go? I could be better. I could improve. You're hit with all these inhibitions of, I'm going to be categorized. I'm going to be viewed as, I can't be like that. And you get smacked with all these hurdles, not allowing a person to actually grow, even for the better. That's Leitzanis. Leitzanis is belittling the good, belittling the facts. It's not being able to face it and to demote it. That's Amalek. Amalek went and saw the successes of Klal Yisrael, and they were top of the world, and they couldn't handle it. So what do you do when you see Klal Yisrael is on top of the world? We're just going to dive in and take them on. We couldn't care less about their successes. It was suicidal. It was kamikaze. It didn't matter. Because we cannot handle this fact that they're coming out of Mitzrayim in the way, in the fashion that they did. We will not stand for this. Let's just go in and we'll lose. That's how far this inability to accept someone else's successes or someone else's, in a personal level, a person's shortcomings or their space for growth is so, so hard. And that's why, and that's a role that drinking on Purim can serve. People are so stuck. People get very stuck in their ways of, this is how it is, this is how it will continue, status quo, and, you know, I see this opportunity for growth, I see this opportunity to foster tzedaka, to do chesed, to learn, to enhance my davening, enhance my tefillah. I can't do it. That's on a regular Tuesday. Purim avails opportunity, either through the medium of drinking or resolve. It avails opportunity to go and to say, I want more. I just want more. And how do you get through that? How do you get past that? With that ability to break free from your inhibitions. People don't care. Those Bachrim, people on Purim, they say things they wouldn't say during the year for the good. Hopefully only for the good. Why? Because they lost that baseline of guard. They lost that baseline and they now are free to embrace themselves, embrace their own growth and actually be willing to entertain something beyond their status quo, beyond what's a given. To be able to go and to say, I want more, and to scoff at that scoffing. To be able to break free from that leitzanis. And that's why we have to eradicate the Amalek from amongst ourselves. That ability to try to keep ourselves in check and not embrace what we got. It's Amalek. And Timcha Zecher Amalek via the medium of Chayiv Inish Levesume will enable us to actually get further. To go and to say, I want more, I want to be better. And that's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity that Purim avails. The question is, this is nice for, how long's the meal last? So how long are you going to have this experience? 3 hours? 5 hours? What is even the take home? What do you walk away with? You're going to go home tonight, and what do you walk away with? On Purim, there's a tremendous opportunity for growth over the span of when you can break past those inhibitions. If it's resolve, so that for sure will last. If it's simply through the medium of getting past your inhibitions via the vehicle of drinking, so what does that do for me for the rest of the year? I want to share with you an unbelievable thought from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner, we don't have time. Rav Huttner was a fascinating Gadol B'Yisrael. Fascinating. He was Polish, wound up in Litvish Slabodka Yeshiva. Spent time in the University of Berlin with Rabbi Shaber, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And is the Rashi of Chaim Berlin. Says Rav Huttner a fascinating thought. The Beis HaMikdash, all three Batei Mikdash should have a corresponding, there's a Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim and a Beis HaMikdash on the Oretz. One that's down here and one that's up there. The second Beis HaMikdash didn't have one. The first one had a corresponding. The third one, there is a corresponding in Shemayim. Mirtz Hashem should be built soon. Bekarav Bi'Ameinu. And the second one didn't have a corresponding one. So writes the Ramchal. So writes the Maral. The question is why? He says, the function of the second Beis HaMikdash was to simply prepare. They were out. They were kicked out. And it was to prepare them for their journey through Galus. It wasn't sustainable. It wasn't something that was supposed to last. The first Beis HaMikdash was in its full glory. The third one will stay forever. The second one was, Hashem felt there was a necessity to go into Galus, to be here in Galus, to be able to fix what Klal Yisrael needed to accomplish while outside of Eretz Yisrael, to eventually be brought back in. And the tools to amply prepare them was have a Beis HaMikdash to give yourself the strength to last through the everlasting Galus that still is amongst us. And we're riding off of those, that jolt that was given to us through the second Beis HaMikdash till today, waiting for the third. It wasn't something that was supposed to be sustained. It was simply a means to go and to get you through on the way to Galus. And he says, that's why, the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara describes in Baba Basra, it had a green, bluish facade on the outside, and it looked like waves. So it describes the Gemara. What's a wave? Says a tide. What's a wave? A tide, says Rav Hutner. That is this very expression. As you watch it coming ashore, it looks so scary. It looks like it's going to eat you. And it hits the sand, and it's no longer. That was the second Beis HaMikdash. It had its full glory and all of its splendor. And then Galus comes, no longer. The third one won't be like that, says Rav Hutner. And that's Purim. He said there's an expression. The expression is, Heint is Purim. Today, we'll do Yiddish. Anyone speak Yiddish? Yeah? I'll translate, don't worry. Heint is Purim. Morgen is Ois. Schick mir ein Glas Wein und warf mir Ois. Today is Purim. Tomorrow, it's over. Pass me a cup of wine and get me out of here. What's the message? He says, these phraseologies from back in the day in the Alte Heim, they have a depth. Says Rav Hutner, that's what it is. Even if something is not sustainable, while you have it, you make the most of it. While you have the second Beis HaMikdash, you get what you can. We're buckling up for Chutz La'aretz, we're buckling up for Galus. Grab. It's not going to last. It doesn't matter. While you have that opportunity, you get as much as you can, and that will carry you through. And that will carry you through Galus, and that will carry you through the trials and tribulations. And that's, he says, a message of Purim. Because if you really capitalize on Purim, and if you really get the most you can out of the Beis HaMikdash, knowing it will be destroyed, it's like that wave that hits the sand, it will not last. Nevertheless, if you get what you can, and you capitalize and concretize that opportunity, you'll be able to make it through Galus. And if you take the opportunity of Purim, says Rav Hutner, and albeit it might be for that one day, but you really make the most of it, and you allow yourself to get past those inhibitions, to just say, yeah, I want to be better. I actually want to improve myself. I want to be somebody bigger than I have been. Let's talk even positive. Forget the negative. Just positive. I want to be better and even better. Even if it's not sustainable. Heint is Purim. Morgen is Ois. Today is Purim. Grab what you can. And if you really grab it and you hold it tight, it'll stick with you. And it'll carry you through the year, just like the Beis HaMikdash has carried us through this Galus. So my bracha is, we should be able to take the opportunities we have, take the opportunities to break free from our own bondage of inhibitions, through our resolve, through a cup of wine, to be able to maximize our potential. Afrei lechem Purim.